Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm your host, Mickey Uzups, and this is Wayne Pike Now, a weekly public affairs program about the people, places, and issues that shape our community. Today, our topic is Parkinson's disease and the Pocono Foxtrot. It is a 5K race, run, walk sort of thing that is designed to raise money for the Michael J. Fox Foundation, which does research into Parkinson's disease. My guest today is Marcia Guberman, who has been responsible for creating the first Foxtrot in our area, which takes place in Milford at the Ann Street Park, and the event is scheduled for June 18th. And Marcia's come to talk to me about Parkinson's disease and about the Foxtrot. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Mickey.
I'm really glad you're here. Let's start off with the Foxtrot. You were diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, and that's really kind of what this came out of. Can you talk a little bit about how you decided to organize a Foxtrot and raise money for the foundation?
Sure. I started looking for information about Parkinson's disease when I was diagnosed 3 years ago. And I found so much information on the Michael J. Fox Foundation, and I also found that they were looking for volunteers for clinical trials, and that one of the big roadblocks was lack of funding.
Okay.
So I thought that I would like to do something to raise awareness and to earn some money to be able to help that along. In talking to people, I knew nobody that had Parkinson's when I was diagnosed. And the more people that I spoke to, the more people I found had Parkinson's in this area, not because of anything except that over a million people in the United States have Parkinson's.
Right.
Over 60,000 people are diagnosed every year.
Wow.
And part of it is that our population is growing so much older, and it's a disease that typically hits people in their late 50s, early 60s.
Okay.
So that more and more of us are developing Parkinson's disease.
Becoming more prevalent.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So this was a great way of building awareness for the disease and raising money.
Right.
And that was why we did this.
Excellent. And part of what you also do is you have a resource fair, and that's kind of designed because, like you said, when you were diagnosed, you didn't know anybody. You didn't know what was in the community. That was kind of the first major sort of thing that you had to deal with figuring out what's out there.
Exactly. People didn't know, for instance, that there was a support group right here in Honesdale, right at the Wayne Memorial Hospital. There was a woman that we met at the resource fair last year who was traveling 2 hours into New Jersey for an exercise program specifically designed for Parkinson's called the Big Program. And it's designed to exaggerate movements because people with Parkinson's tend to lose the movement within their body. So instead of taking strides when they walk, they shuffle.
Okay.
Or instead of speaking loudly, their voice diminishes or their handwriting diminishes. Their arms don't swing when they walk. So this program is designed to exaggerate those movements so that they become more normal.
Okay.
And it's offered right here in Honesdale. So the resource fair brought that kind of information to the forefront. And she no longer travels 3 days a week, 2 hours each way down to New Jersey for a program right in her own backyard.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And that's kind of one of the reasons, and it was sort of finding all the things in the community and realizing, unfortunately, a lot of people who do deal with Parkinson's, whether as a caregiver or as someone who's been diagnosed, doesn't, you know, they're here, their things are here. It's a matter of getting that information into the hands of the people who need it. And the resource fair was really designed to do that.
Exactly. We have acupuncturists and physical therapists, nutritionists, who while they have a broad population of clientele, they also have a great deal of expertise about Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was brought out as well. We had tons of information from all of the national organizations for resources. One of them specifically is called Aware and Care. It's put out by the National Parkinson's Foundation, and it's a program that people who are being hospitalized for whatever reason and have Parkinson's disease are encouraged to use this along with their caretakers using it to bring to the hospital. And it has to do with taking their medication on time in the hospital.
Okay.
And hospitals work on their schedule, as they have to. They're dealing with so many patients. But unfortunately, Parkinson's patients can't. They have to have their Parkinson's medication when it's necessary because there's wearing off periods before their next scheduled dosage. So if they wait until the hospital's schedule, they could really be putting themselves in danger. Their balance will be off. They'll be falling and hurting themselves. Many Parkinson's patients have problems with swallowing, so that if a meal comes along and they haven't had their medication, they could be choking. Mm. So there's a lot of information at the fair about the Aware and Care program and ways in which people can get it. It's a free offering from the Parkinson's Foundation. Mm. And so we have kits there that they can see, and then information as to how they can go online and get it free.
Wow. Now, that kind of begs the question. You said there are a lot of national organizations that are focused on Parkinson's disease, but you very clearly made a choice that you wanted to support the Michael J. Fox Foundation. Can you talk a little bit about why?
We chose Fox Foundation because they take all of the resources of, let me back up, they have 13 scientists on their staff, and those scientists work with scientists throughout the world and coordinate studies that are being done. So it's stopping the silo effect of going for grants and working on cures or different programs that will slow up the effects of the disease. So they are coordinating this. For instance, I'm involved in a 5-year longitudinal study that is being done in Australia, Israel, Iceland, numerous places in the United States, Great Britain, and they are taking all of the information that's gathered from all of these sites and sharing it with everyone so that it's no longer one group fighting for dollars and fighting for the information. And so the result of this is that medications are being sped along through the research departments, getting into the FDA quicker, getting into phase 2 and 3 trials. Right now, there are a number of drugs in phase 3 trials that were not there 2 years ago. Mm. And those drugs are designed to slow or stop the disease.
Wow.
Would not have happened without the Fox Foundation.
And unfortunately, you know, research science is like that. I can't even say territorial. It kind of goes with the territory. But when it comes to fighting diseases that are so prevalent, you know, the sharing of information and collaboration just helps to bring, you know, potential and hope and potential cures onto the market and out to the people who need them much quicker.
Exactly. And the other thing was that our event is under the guise of something called Team Fox, which is a part of the Michael J. Fox Foundation. Every penny that is donated through Team Fox goes towards research. There is no administration that comes out of that. So while the Fox Foundation itself has a budget that I think something like 87 or 89% of the dollars brought into the Fox Foundation go towards research, everything that goes in through the Team Fox portion of it goes to research.
And that's the community fundraising leg.
Exactly. Wow. That's where every dollar that we bring in goes.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so it's 100%. You don't see that anywhere.
Yeah, and that, I can definitely tell why you picked the Michael J. Fox Foundation and its, you know, ancillary organizations, you know, because of the efficiency that they're using the money and how they're helping to create more hope, if you will.
Yeah, and they also offer free programs. They offer a third Thursday of the month webinar that anybody can go on to. You can go on to old webinars or listen to the newest ones that are coming out, and it's all science-based. So they have doctors and patients on these that are answering questions on a specific topic.
Wow.
So, you know, what are the latest drugs, or how do I deal with sleep issues? How do I deal with my tremor problems? What should my doctor's appointment look like, and what kind of questions, or how do I go in prepared to talk to my doctor and get the best out of my appointment? So they have lots and lots of different topics that are of help to people.
That's
and
great.
It's fantastic.
All right. I'm your host, Mickey Useup. So you've been listening to Wayne Pike Now. It's a weekly public affairs program about the people, places, and issues that shape our community. Today, my guest is Marcia Guberman, who is responsible for creating and organizing the Pocono Foxtrot. It's scheduled for June 18th at the Ann Street Park in Milford. It is a 5K run. It's a 1K fun walk, a 1 mile kids run. It'll be on June 18th. But if you sign up by May 18th, you get one of the t-shirts. So we wanted to let you know about that deadline, which is coming up about a week or so from now. So, Marcia, you said 3 years ago you were diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. That must have been kind of terrifying just in that first, like, oh, what does this mean?
It was really terrifying because I had no experience with it. I knew nobody who had Parkinson's. Nobody in my family had had Parkinson's. So it was very terrifying. And just totally unbelievable. I was prepared for things like cancer or heart disease, but not Parkinson's. It's been an interesting journey. I've met so many people who have been affected by Parkinson's, so many people who have Parkinson's, and the public outcry within the community has been just amazing. The support has been tremendous.
Because it's becoming more and more prevalent, like we talked about in the last segment.
Exactly.
So many people are touched by it, whether it's as a caregiver or with a diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I personally found is that it took about 4 years to be diagnosed for myself.
Wow.
And that is not uncommon. There's no test, first of all,
right,
that can be done. There's something called a DAT scan that will measure the amount of dopamine in your brain. And Parkinson's is a neurological degenerative disease that reduces the amount of dopamine in your system.
Right.
But the only way to verify that is at autopsy of your brain. So this DAT scan will show the amount of dopamine that has been reduced. It's a very, very expensive test, and most of the time, doctors do not do it.
That's not going to be their first go-to.
It will never be their first go-to. Right. I had one only because of a clinical trial that I was involved in.
Oh.
But the typical testing for Parkinson's is what you would see a police officer do for somebody who's drunk. You know, touching your finger to your nose, walking a straight line, checking your balance, tapping your fingers together, things like that.
So they're looking for the neuromuscular sort of coordination and how that's working.
Correct. Correct. My first symptom was I was dragging my leg. We thought that had to do with a disc imbalance. It wasn't.
Right.
My next symptom was a slight tremor in my left thumb, which was thought to be a pinched nerve in my neck.
Mm-hmm.
And after physical therapy and pain management and all kinds of things, and it continued spreading into my left side, was I finally being sent to a neurologist who just said, yes, you have Parkinson's disease.
Wow.
You know, so that was 4 years down the road.
Huh, yeah. And like you said, being such an expensive, that test being so expensive, that's not where they're going to go to first. And it the manifestations, the symptoms that present can vary as well.
They do. I met with an 81-year-old gentleman just earlier this week who was diagnosed about a month ago, and he has something that that's I find very interesting. A lot of people with Parkinson's have sleep issues.
Mm-hmm.
My particular sleep issue is that I could fall asleep for an hour and then be up until 6 in the morning.
Right.
And other people will act out their dreams. Well, this man acts out his dreams. And so he's been hitting his wife in the middle of the night.
Oh, my.
Turns out that he's been playing baseball in his dreams. And every time he throws that ball, she's getting whacked.
Wow.
So there's medication to be taken for that, and he's been fighting it, but I think that he will go on medication. Some people's handwriting gets really, really tiny. Other people shuffle along. There's so many different issues with it. Their voices get really diminished, and that has nothing to do with tremors.
Right, and that's probably the symptom or the outward manifestation that most people associate with Parkinson's disease.
Exactly.
But that's really later on.
It depends upon the person.
Right.
Michael Fox talks about Parkinson's disease as though, he says, if you've met one person with Parkinson's, you've met one person with Parkinson's.
Oh.
Everybody's disease is different. They're like snowflakes, so none of us are the same.
Right.
The thing that is interesting is that there are two types of Parkinson's. One is early onset, which happens to people in their late 20s, early 30s. So that's what Michael Fox had. So if you think about it, he's now 56 years old, I think. So he's had it for 25 years.
Wow.
So when we see him progress, we're not seeing somebody with an early phase of the disease. We're seeing somebody that's had it for many, many, many years.
Right, sure.
And then there's the rest of us, which is the most common, getting it in your 50s and 60s. So we wind up with partners or caretakers, you know, spouses, whatever, who are helping us maneuver this system and going to doctor's appointments with us, listening with a set of ears that are not closing out the things that we don't want to hear, being very supportive. Some people can't turn in bed.
Right.
So they're helping with that. They're helping with all kinds of things. And for caretakers, it's probably more terrifying than for the patient themselves because they didn't sign on for this.
Right.
So we are in our committee, one of the things that we're committed to do is educate the community on Parkinson's disease and all the ramifications of it. So there will be an article next month, actually, in the Connections magazine on the caretaker's point of view. So last year we did a story on two of us who have Parkinson's and the things that we have to deal with. And this year the article is on caretaker's point of view and the things that they have to deal with. And I suspect that the bottom line is that what they have to deal with is similar to what any caretaker has to go through.
It's about understanding how the disease is going to present or may present itself and what they can do, strategies for dealing with it, because that's the most effective way to deal with the stress that comes with caregiving.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, I haven't seen the article yet, but I'm hoping that it ties up telling people or giving people suggestions of how others can be supportive of the caretaker.
Right.
Everybody worries about the patient all the time, but it's the caretakers who really need the breaks later on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, and that little bit of help.
Exactly.
I'm your host, Mickey Useups. You're listening to Wayne Pike Now. We're talking about Parkinson's disease and the Pocono Foxtrot. It's actually the second annual Pocono Foxtrot. The first one was held last year. The coordinator of it, or one of the founders of it, Marcia Guberman, is joining me today. She's been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease about 3 years ago. And the event on June 18th at Ann Street Park in Milford was really born out of her need to find more information and other people dealing with what she's dealing with and to bring them together so everybody has the information that they need. Now, Marcia, let's start off by talking a little bit about how they can register. Now, do they need to register for any particular, like the 5K, 1K, 1 mile, like the kids have to register? How's that work?
The way it works is that if they go to our website, which is www.PoconoFoxtrot5K.org, it will bring them to the sign-up page. So they will ask for the name and address and email address and all of that kind of stuff. And then they can choose whether they want to do the 5K. Whether they walk or run, it doesn't matter. Whether they want to do a one-mile community walk, which is on a flat paved surface. So even if you're in a wheelchair and you want to participate, you're absolutely able to do that.
That's great.
Or if you're registering a kid for the one-mile community run for kids. We have cars that go through the entire route. So if somebody twists an ankle or somebody decides that they've bit off more than they could chew or whatever it is, we will bring them back to the park. So your commitment is not your commitment. You don't have to be worried about that.
And what does it cost to register?
It's $25 to register.
And that's the fundraising side.
That's the fundraising side. If you register by May 18th, there are free t-shirts.
Great.
And you can also buy additional t-shirts online, so you can order the size that you want. After May 18th, there is a $15 charge for the t-shirts. The registration itself goes up to $35.
Okay.
And you can also register the day of the event. We will have extra t-shirts for sale, but last year we ran out.
Okay.
So we had,
you want a t-shirt,
we had over 200 people last year. We were
hoping. And
that
was the first one.
That was the first one. We were hoping for 100.
Wow.
We were hoping to raise $10,000. We raised $22,203. So you can imagine the number of people involved and the amount of need and support in this area.
Right.
And the support was tremendous.
Right.
We had music donated. There will be music donated this year also. So after the race, we will have a fun party. Food is being donated. There will be hamburgers and hot dogs cooked by, I think, the Milford Borough Fire Department, as it was last year. They donated their time.
Oh, wow.
The balloon arch with fox balloons was donated as well. All of the sponsors' names are listed on banners there. And they're also, sponsor names, by the way, are very important. They're all of their logos are on our website. So as you scroll down to donate or to register for the event, you'll see all of the sponsors listed. If you click onto their logo, it will bring you to their website.
Oh, great.
So you can see what they're all about.
Mm-hmm.
So the sponsors have been tremendously gracious this year, as they were last year. So we have music, we have a tricky tray.
Okay.
Lots of gift cards, lots of gift baskets, food, and of course our resource fair,
mm-hmm.
which is just so well attended, so well supported, and just so necessary for people. It was great.
Fantastic.
It was a wonderful, fun day. Registration is between 8 and 9 in the morning. The first run goes off at 9 o'clock, and the next one is about 9:15, and then 9:30, 10 o'clock. We are done by 12:30. I know that Roots and Rhythm is here in Honesdale that afternoon, so people are back here in Honesdale area able to participate in Roots and Rhythm.
That's perfect. Well, Marcia, we're running out of time. I want to thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story about Parkinson's disease, as well as talking to us about the Pocono Foxtrot on June 18th, Dan Street Park in Milford. The website again was
PoconoFoxtrot5K.org.
Right. PoconoFoxtrot5K.org. You can register there. If you're not able to make it and you still have been moved by Marcia's story or that of other people or someone else in your life, then you can also make a donation there.
Exactly.
Excellent. Thanks again for coming.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I thank all of you for tuning in. Drop by again next week and we'll talk some more.